changed man. Those changes come because people bring the gospel of this Jesus Christ. They bring the gospel, the good news of salvation. God so loved the world. That's carried on the lips of people. We call some of those people who carry that gift pastors. And when a group of believers gather together, they usually assemble, and then they form what we often call a church. And then the church calls a pastor to shepherd them and take care of them and to encourage them and have them develop and grow and mature in Christ so that more can be sent out. So you've called a pastor, and he's going to have to travel here. Transportation is a big part of gospel ministry. So you're going to be sending a team of people to Michigan to help this pastor and his family travel here so that they can teach you. In Sierra Leone, the little village where we spent a lot of our time building that shelter, and which a threefold purpose, it's a family shelter, it's a church building for worship, and it has now become a medical clinic. It's not completed, but it's being used for all those things. And one of the things that little group of worshipers over there needed was a pastor. And so the pastor was provided, a church planter. And the amazing thing, and this is part of the story I'll tell in detail later, but a pastor was provided. And to my surprise, it was provided by a Christian Reformed pastor in Sierra Leone who I met, and I asked, "Do you think you could find a pastor to take care of this church?" He said, "Give me a week." And a week later, we had a pastor. He'll come here twice a week. He'll preach and worship, lead worship on Sundays and spend the day here. And then, in the middle of the week, he'll come back and he'll do a Bible study and visitation among the people. He provided us a pastor. He said, "But I got one." Well, he said, one more gift. You don't have to pay his salary. I'll take care of it through another organization. But we have one problem. He lives 45 miles away. He does not own a car, doesn't own a truck, doesn't own a motorcycle, and it's very expensive to hire transportation. If we can get him transportation, we can provide him for you. I called Aaron and I said, "What do you think? Can we get a motorcycle for this guy?" She says, "Yes. Tell Pastor Moses we got friends who ride motorcycles. And we'll get a motorcycle." So we called some of our friends who ride motorcycles and said, "This is what we need. We need a motorbike for this man in Sierra Leone so he can be a pastor to this church. And he'll go back 45 miles one way twice a week." 1 week later, we had a motorbike, brand new. And now I want to know, anybody here who rides a motorcycle, or used to and wished you still did, would you come up forward, please? And just stand right here. Just stand right here. Wow. If I would have known all this, you all would have gotten a phone call. Oh, right here, right here, right down here. Right, just all of you, right here. Okay. I'm glad you're here, Jackson. Okay, now, on the screen, you're going to have a picture. There is a picture of the new motorcycle that was purchased and that is being prayed over before its ministry begins. So transportation can be provided. Now, as you stay right there, all of the transport team that's going to Michigan to bring your new pastor, you come and stand over here, please. Some of you are confused. But it's a wonderful confusion. Oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. What I would like to do, is there a microphone? Right there. I'm going to ask Kurt if he will pray a blessing on that motorcycle. The motorcycle was made in India. And it's been given to the Christian Reformed Church of Sierra Leone to minister in John Obi. Would you ask a blessing upon that motorcycle, Kurt?
Sure. Yep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing this church. Thank you for the opportunity to spread your word locally through cadets, gems, Bible study, and Sunday services. Open our hearts and prepare us to be ready when those opportunities come. Thank you for the opportunity to spread your word across the world as well. We think about the church in Sierra Leone. Please bless the efforts of those working there. Please be with Ezekiel as he uses his motorcycle to travel to and from the church. Grant him courage and wisdom and patience to effectively carry out your will. May you watch over him as he travels over the rougher roads. And Father, just as a spark plug creates an explosion of power in a motorcycle, may you use us in the same way, that we may create a spark that leads to an explosion of growth in your kingdom. We pray this in your majestic name. Amen.
Amen. I forgot to ask you all to put your hands forward to be a part of the prayer, so if you'll do that now, raise your hands and I'll pray for the transport team. Father God Almighty, yes, we thank you for answered prayers for a new pastor. And Father, we thank you for those who are willing to go to Michigan and transport him back. And so we pray safety in going, safety in packing, safety in loading, safety in returning, that this group as well as the pastor and his family will return in safety. And we pray, Father God, that as you provide these people, so may we also do as Kurt prayed, look together for opportunities to perhaps transport somebody else into the kingdom of God by sharing our testimony, a word of faith, a word of hope, perhaps a dish of food, a visit, that we too, Lord God, might be part of those who bring the gospel. Thank you for the participation, Lord God. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. In the back, on the table out there, are some items that I brought back from Sierra Leone. And this, I don't even know what I call it, this garment that I'm wearing was a gift to me, and Erin received a gift, though she was in absence. She received a gift different from this one. I have one like that, and she has one like this. We have three different clothing items like this that were given to us from different people, or churches actually. There's some other things back there on the table you might want to just look at to be just aware of some of the things that were given. There's one thing on the table back there. It's a great big picture, and if you saw it, you might have saw it and laughed, because it was given to me by the ministers of the Christian Reformed Church where I led them in a conference. And at the end, they gave me this picture of myself, and it's too big. So I wanted to put underneath it, you know, the Right Reverend Apostle Thomas Dykeman. But I wasn't allowed to. And I thought, well, I'll just bring it along where I go, and you can look at it and have a nice chuckle. I mean, that's really what it's for. And you never saw me like that because I wore a clerical collar. I was requested to wear a clerical collar for a special memorial service that I conducted. Please wear a clerical. So, okay, I did. But those things are out there and you can look at it. And then after the service this morning, grab some coffee, please. And for those who aren't going to the other service at Vermeer, please come back and I'll give you some detail about what God did and is doing right now in Sierra Leone. But the story, the text is the story of the young man here, the demoniac. Now this story, many of us are familiar with it from a long time ago, from our childhood. And as I was saying in the passages that I gave to you, I wanted you to see that there is a theme that runs through the whole Gospel of Mark, and that is, who is this Jesus? And where does he get his authority to do what he does? He casts out a demon, he goes into the worship place, and he upsets the worship order, he upsets the people because he heals a guy on the Sabbath day, and you don't do that, that's not our custom. He did it anyway. He speaks to them, he heals various people of various diseases, and then just before he goes to the cross, Jesus goes up on a mountain, and on the mountain he's transfigured with Moses and Elijah and three of his disciples. And if you recall, at that time, the voice of God speaks. And God says, this is my beloved son, hear him, listen to him, pay attention to him. It was about that same voice that spoken earlier when Jesus was in the wilderness. When Jesus was baptized, the voice of God came and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my son. Pay attention to him. And so now you get these things all developing in the Gospel of Mark. And on this one here, Jesus says to his disciples a surprising thing. He says, hey, let's go to the other side. Now that's a strange thing to say, because the other side is where the Gentiles dwell. There are very few of our kind over there. It's those other people over there. They're Gentiles. It's the Decapolis. And so Jesus says to his disciples, come on, let's go to the other side where those other people are. Let's cross over the tracks and go over there. Now, I am sure the disciples were very, very surprised by that. Because you don't mix and mingle with Gentiles, not if you're a good Jew. But, of course, how do you say no to Jesus? They go. And then what happens? So often, it happens in my life, when I listen to Jesus, it seems like, well, I'll back up. When I go on a retreat, to be close to Jesus and be taught, it seems like as soon as I get home, bam, the devil hits me. Anybody know about that? You've had a great experience with the Lord, and all of a sudden, the devil just smacks you right upside the head as soon as you get back. Often I find that when I obey Jesus, it seems like not only do I receive blessings, but I get rattled from the devil. They follow Jesus. What is that? What happens? They're going where they don't think they should go. They're good Jews. But they go. And a storm hits. Wham! They're scared. Rightly so. Jesus calms the storm, and they say to him, who is this? Even nature responds to him. So they go to the other side. You know, when God calls us, he calls us very often to go where it's uncomfortable, where we don't feel real at home. I don't know if you remember this, but I referred to it earlier this morning already. When we were here last summer for the summer, and Jody, how do you say your last name? Oppenheisen. When she was here, she laid a challenge on the congregation to get involved in being willing to go, whether it be near or far, but go. And she told me, with a finger at me afterwards, out there, Tom, you need to go, because I had said I had this opportunity. She said, you need to go. And when you're done, she said, you can come to Czechoslovakia. It often happens, God calls you or he sends you where you're uncomfortable. Now, the value of that, there's great value in being uncomfortable. It means you got to pray. When I tell you the story of what happened when we went to Sierra Leone, we were in trouble even before we left America. We were in trouble. I was in trouble. I was upset. I was shook up because this isn't the plan. No. So, uncomfortable. God often calls us to go to the place that's uncomfortable. Now, you'll notice here in this story that they come across the lake at night, it says. So they must have arrived in the morning. And this guy up in the hills sees them. He comes running down the hill and he confronts Jesus. And he says, you know, he begs Jesus to leave and so forth. The man has history in that area. The man, we know, they say he's filled with demons. He says his name is Legion, which means he's got a lot of demons. And as he comes down the hill, he's shouting at Jesus, "What do you have to do with me?" And he calls him who he is. And then he says, "Don't torture me, please, please." He confronts Jesus immediately. A man filled with demons. A man, by the way, when you're filled with demons, sometimes you get extremely strong. And it says in Mark's gospel, it says in Luke's gospel, and also in Matthew's gospel, that they would try to chain the man and he would break the chains. They put shackles on his legs and he would break the shackles. Scary guy. They drove him into the hills. He couldn't stay in the community anymore. He can't live among us. You've got to go into the hills where the tombs are. He sees Jesus, comes running down the hill, confronts Jesus, and begs Jesus not to torture him. Demons are scary things. I found out when I went to Sierra Leone and the Christian Reformed Church asked me to come and go across to Kabbalah. Did I say that right? Kabbalah? Theo, I said it right. Okay, Kabbalah. They asked me to go to Kabbalah and lead a conference for all the Christian Reformed ministers and missionaries in the country. What I didn't know is what Kabbalah was known for. Kabbalah is the place, and my friend John Wah, who used to live there, he says, "Tom, Kabbalah is the place in all of West Africa, not just Sierra Leone, all of West Africa, which is known to be the darkest place you can go, where there are demonic, demon presence, where there are soothsayers, where there are people who cast out demons, who throw curses on people. And it is said, if you have a problem with somebody and you want to get even with them, all you have to say is, 'I'm going to Kabbalah.' And that means I'm going to go there," and they do. They pay some money for a soothsayer, and they pray down curses on that person. You know what? The Christian Reformed Church started a ministry in Sierra Leone in 1980. Do some of you remember that? They asked you to take offerings? Do you know where they started? Kabbalah. The darkest place in all of Sierra Leone and in West Africa. It is so dark there, the Roman Catholic Church, which has churches all over Sierra Leone, does not have a church in Kabbalah because of the demonic presence. And where did God send the Christian Reformed Church in 1980? Kabbalah. Ay, ay, ay. Wait till you hear what God has done to Kabbalah because of the Christian Reformed ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so it was there. The Christian Reformed Church went. Today, there are 3 Christian Reformed churches in that city. There is a Christian school in that city. Has 1,000 students from kindergarten through 12th grade. Did you hear that? 1,000 students in the Christian school of the Christian Reformed churches in Kabbalah. more than half of them are Muslims. They bring the gospel through education to the community. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'll show you some, tell you some stories about some other things that were happening there in Kabbalah and in the Christian Reformed Church. But there was a banner. When we were at the church that day, they showed me a banner, and on the banner is the vision of the Christian Reformed Church for all of Sierra Leone from 2020 to 2030. And on that list, one of the things that's on the list was that we will have a radio station that will broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ to this part of Sierra Leone 24 hours a day. I said to Moses, "Well, how'd you do?" He said, "Look out the window." And there was a radio tower. They are on the air 24 hours a day, reaching that whole part of Sierra Leone. You'd feel right at home. And then Moses said to me, "Tom, you and John want to be on the radio tomorrow? We'll take a break at 9 o'clock and you're on the radio." That's God. They have some other things that they want to do in Sierra Leone in those years. They want to grow churches, and they're growing churches, and they're developing churches. And I'll share some of the things a little bit later on, but if I get started now, I'll take too long. And the story is amazing as to what God is unfolding in that community through the Christian Reformed Church. While I was at the pastor's conference there in Kabbalah, I had the privilege. I was always the oldest man around. Nobody as old as me. And so they called me Daddy. Daddy. A form of respect. But amongst the Christian Reformed pastors, there was one man, 1 or 2 years younger than me. He's a Fulani. A Fulani tribes person. He said he was the first convert of all the Fulanis, he said that, in Sierra Leone. He fled for his life because you cannot be a Christian and a Fulani and remain in your community. He fled for his life, came to America, got some training, went back, became a pastor, and now he's a pastor in the Christian Reformed Church in Sierra Leone. I have a picture with him. Just an amazing, wonderful experience. Later on, I met another Fulani pastor from a different area, and I have a picture of him, which I'll show later on after the service. God at work, ministering, changing hearts, changing lives. Now, the thing we have to recognize is that Jesus comes out of the boat, off the boat, or out of the boat, and this man comes down the mountain, and there's a confrontation. It's an upsetting kind of thing, I'm sure, especially for the disciples. And in the confrontation, we have this man who's begging and pleading with Jesus not to, the demons in him, not to torture them. And so they beg, "Please don't send us into the abyss, which is the future holding place for all the demons and Satan. Don't send us there." You can read it about Revelation chapter 9. "Don't send us there. Don't end us. Don't bring the our lives and our presence into the abyss. Please, leave us alone. Let us go into the pigs. Please let us go. Let us inhabit the pigs." I remember the day when I was confronted by a demon. I had a phone call. I was in Houston, Texas. I had a phone call from the secretary at church. She says, "Pastor Tom, you got to come home as soon as you can. When the meeting's over, you got to get home. Because that family that's been visiting the church here for a number of weeks, they've called, and there's terrible things happening in the family, and it's just out of control." So I came back as soon as I could, and I gathered a couple of other people who are familiar with the 12-step programs which we have at the church. And together we went to this home. And here in this house, in the home, as we entered the home, there was this mother sitting on the floor laying over the coffee table. And she was just sobbing and sobbing and shaking. And her husband was sitting nearby, and he was extremely upset and frustrated. And these are people who've been dealing with drugs and alcohol issues for years, and it just got out of control. And as we were there, we began to recognize that this is more than just a drug addiction. There is something inside this woman that has to come out. And so those of us were there, we gathered around her, and we began to pray, and we began to pray. And in the name of Jesus, we just kept praying that God would deliver her and set her free. And while we're praying, we have our hands upon her, our hands upon him. We're praying, and all of a sudden, she starts shaking violently. She begins what appears to be vomiting. She's trying to get something out that's inside of her. It's unrelenting. She just can't get it out. There's something in there that's clutching. It's holding on inside. And she can't get rid of it. And she just keeps... And it goes on, I don't know how long, maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. It was just horrible. This retching. And finally, there was one last heave. It was a horrible sound, like it was vomiting something. And it, and her head hit the table, and she lay there. And she lay there for probably, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then she lifted her head. She started to look around. Her eyes opened. And she started to smile. She had been changed in a moment. A few months later, I baptized her in Inks Lake. She was a changed person. I'm convinced she had a demon or demons. And they came out at the name of Jesus. And she was set free. We sing a song so often, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love. Amazing, amazing grace. Who is this Jesus? That's the question. Who is He? Jesus is not a condemner. He told us that. I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He's a Savior. But we will all be confronted by Him. And you're being confronted by Jesus Christ right now. I stand before you in the name of Jesus Christ, sent here, I believe, by Jesus Christ, to confront you and to ask you if you know Him as Savior. Because if you don't know Him as Savior, one day you will know Him as your judge. That's the message we bring to the world. It's the message that brings people out of bondage into freedom. That's the gospel. We shall be confronted by Him. And because He willingly came, surrendered Himself from heaven, He came to the earth, because He willingly died on the cross, the Father in heaven took Him back to heaven, seated Him at His own right hand, and said, I give to you all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. And dear Son, one day every knee shall bow before you. You will meet Him. He's here today. He's offering Himself as your Savior, your Lord, and your director in life, so that you won't have to meet Him as your judge. This story concludes with three requests. I just mentioned them. There's the request of the demons. The demons' request was, please don't torture us. Please do not torture us. Send us into the pigs. Send us into the pigs. Please. Okay. I don't want you ever to forget this message. So I'm going to give you something to take home. But I need about 6 people. I need 6 volunteers. You will come now. Did you say I didn't ask you? You will come now. Okay, six of you, all right. And your assignment is to distribute these somehow to everybody in the whole congregation gets one. So just go ahead, wherever you want, make sure. Oh, I'm in your way. Okay. One more. I gotta have one. Okay. You see, the story was about pigs, right? And 2,000 pigs were filled with demons. That's a lot of demons and a lot of pigs. And as you get this, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something with this little pig. You can name the pig if you want. That's not necessary, but you may name it. But this pig is to be a reminder. Do we have enough, by the way? If you run out, Aaron's got some. And if you didn't get one, raise your hand, because way in the back over there by Jim. And you guys who helped me, you got to get one too. Did you get one? All right. You guys upstairs get them? Oh, bring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 upstairs. Somebody go upstairs with 5 of them. Yeah, 5 of them upstairs. Okay. Okay, Liam, good job. Thank you. All right. Now, some of you have already found what I knew you would find eventually. The more intelligent among you have figured out that there's a device inside here. And it's important that you know it's in there. So what I want you to do now is just, everybody, hold it. Don't squeeze it. No. Don't squeeze it. On cue, you squeeze it. Okay? So the demon said, you know, oh, please, please, please. They begged Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. Throw us into the pigs. Everybody. Yeah. I pity those people who are watching online. What have they done now? But you know, when you squeeze this thing, just remember, the demons threaten us. The demons attack us. The demons come after us in 1,000 different ways, in 1,000 different ways in different places. They attack us because they don't want to be near Jesus. When you get near Jesus, those in opposition to Christ rear their head. And so every time you look at this little pig, just remember, Jesus is all-powerful. He controls the demons. He can take control of your life too. And so when he asks you to go to the other side, to Sierra Leone, or to the co-op in his name, and you hear the sound of a fearful demon, remember who controls the demons. He will never send you alone. He will never send you alone. He has the authority. And you know what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out to the world? He said, I will never leave you. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I will never leave you. So you put the pig someplace where you'll always see it as you go into your day, remembering who sends you into this world. The second request that day was by the townspeople. The townspeople had beheld that they'd seen what had happened to all the pigs, or they had heard about it. And once they heard about what happened to the pigs, they came out to see this guy who did this. And they come out there, and what do they see? They see, I can't imagine this, 2,000 pigs lying in the lake, washed up on the shore. I have no idea what that would look like, but I don't care to see it either. What an awful thing. There they are. And the guy they feared, the guy they drove out of town, made live by himself, there he is amongst them, clear-headed, speaking intelligently, near Jesus, with clean clothes on. And what do the people say? They didn't say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, what a God we have amongst us, the boy is delivered." No, it says they were afraid. They didn't see mercy, they didn't see grace, they didn't see love, they didn't see hope. They trembled in fear because they saw somebody to whom they would have to be accountable to. "Please leave us. We don't want to answer to you. Please go. Don't stay. We're afraid." They drive away the deliverer. They do the same thing to Jesus as they did to the young man filled with demons. They drive him away. People do that today as well. When Jesus comes to us, he invites us. And then we have a choice: to be drawn to him, or some people will be driven away by their own fear. I met a pastor. This is the second pastor I met who was Fulani tribe. His name is Pastor Jallo. Pastor Jallo was from a family that was extremely wealthy. And they were a diamond family, what they call. Extremely wealthy family. This young man, Jallo, was a young man. He became interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It became known to his father that his son was interested in following Jesus. He came to his son and he said, "If you follow Jesus Christ, I will disown you. I'll write you out of the will. Nothing that I have will go to you, and you will no longer be my son. And I will put a price tag on your head, and your brother will kill you." He left. He fled for his life. He became a Christian. He came to America. He studied. Became a pastor. And after a time away, God said to him, "Now go home." "But my brother is there. He'll kill me." "Go to the other side. Go home. Go back." And he went back. He went back, and he, along with my friend who took me to Sierra Leone, together 33 years ago, they began a ministry together. They began a ministry where Jallo started a church, and my friend John, with Jallo's wife, who's a nurse, started a clinic. And together they merged ministries. Today, Pastor Jallo says, when you go to him, he'll tell the story, and he will say, "I have children all over the world. They were born in my clinic. Tens of thousands of babies have been born here, and they've gone around the world." God was at work. He brought the light into that little community. He began driving the demons out. That clinic still stands today. When I arrived there at that clinic to visit, I was greeted by a man. Guess who greeted me? I got out of the car. A man came to greet me. He put his hand out. It was Pastor Jallo's brother who was sent to kill him. Now I'm a Christian too, and I work with my brother. That's God. That's God. He makes a way when there is no way. And then there's the third request, and that's the request by the healed man. The healed man. When Jesus decided to grant the request of the townspeople, go back, Jesus goes to get in the boat. And I can just picture him there. He's climbing into the boat. And right there at his side is the healed man. And as he gets in the boat, he says, Jesus, I want to go too. Can I come with you? Can I go along, Jesus? Is there room for me in your boat? And Jesus said, no, you can't come. You can't come along. You go home. Go back to where you came from and tell your people that you know what God has done in your life. But I want to go away. I want to start new. I want to start fresh. I don't want to remember all that stuff. I don't want to look. Those people know me. They remember me. They're going to bring it up and throw it in my face. No, I don't want to go there. You go home and tell them what God has done for you. And so he did. And the scripture says he went and he told all over the Decapolis, that's 10 cities, what God had done for him. God says to us, go. Sometimes he says, go far. I'll go with you. Sometimes he says, just go around the block over there to the 7-Eleven store. Sometimes he says, just go to Hy-Vee. Go to your neighbor. Shovel her walk. Mow his grass. Bring some food to those people over there who just lost a loved one. They don't have a church. Bring them some food. Show them some love. You don't have to go far. Just go down the street. Near or far. Tell your story of what God has done. Today at school. Tomorrow. When you run cross country with other students. Tell them what God has done. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave me that life. I pray you've received it as well. And now after you get some coffee, we'll be back up here and we'll try to tell you in detail where the finger of God showed up and pushed until we listened and followed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the call of the gospel, for the power of the gospel, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Send us each one, Lord, who knows you, whether it be near or far, short term, long term, but send us in your name. Like the Apostle Paul said, we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So may we go and tell the story. In Jesus' name, amen.